So when we ask ourselves the question, who are we? The next question has to be, how do we even know what we know about ourselves? When we ask ourselves questions of our origins or our history, or the origins of our universe, or how creation began, what we find is that as different as the answers appear to be, our answers primarily come from two sources of information. In the Western world, we rely primarily on two sources of information to tell us all that we know about ourselves and our world and the cosmos beyond. We call those science and spiritual traditions, or in some respects, religion. I have to be very careful when I use the word religion in this respect, because I'm not speaking about the rules and the dogma per se, rather I am speaking about the history and the understandings that those spiritual traditions bring to bear upon our world today.
Does a clone have a soul? Life is made of four elements: carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and that's it. Four elements of the earth. When do those four elements become life? Isn't that interesting? And even more, when does life become human? How do we know the answer to these things? If something is consciousness, does it mean it's living? Or if it's living, does it mean it has a consciousness? We're going to share some research today. While we may not answer these questions, we're laying the foundation of the kind of information, and you will have the information to form your own opinions of these and many, many more things. Before we even do that, we have to ask ourselves a question. When we have the opinions that we have about our world, how do we even know what we know? Have you ever thought about that? How do we know what we know in our lifetime? Where does our information come from? What are our primary sources of knowledge? A long time ago, our primary source of knowledge was direct experience. When someone in a family or a tribe would have a vision or a dream or a strong intuitive sense, the rest of the family or the tribe or the community would listen and they would honor that. That, to a greater degree, is not happening in our culture right now. Other cultures, it does. In our culture, we learn less through direct experience, and I think that's changing, because we're all remembering how important our direct experience is. Besides direct experience, our two primary sources of knowledge are science and we call religious or spiritual traditions. Science and religion. Historically, science and religion have been considered incompatible. How many of you have heard that, or have you felt that, that you have to choose one perspective or another? Well, there's something happening that may be of great relief to you then, so you don't have to feel that tension any longer. Historically, science and religion have been considered incompatible. We're now finding that they are related in ways that we're only beginning to understand. I come from the world of science. My training is in the hard sciences, and I support the scientific method. However, as good as science is, the best scientists will tell you that it's incomplete. Science only began about 400 years ago. 400 years ago, science began to break our world, the unity of our world, into little pieces so that we could feel comfortable understanding them and studying them. We call those building blocks our sciences of physics, biology, chemistry, geology, maybe mathematics. And we've done a very good job of this. We understand the building blocks very well. Now, the great challenge in science is, how do we unify those building blocks into a story that accounts for everything we see in our world? Science is looking for the unified theory. But this is the great question: how do we unify these theories? Science is incomplete, as good as it is, on one hand. On the other hand, ancient religious and spiritual traditions, in their way, they say to us that they preserve a great mystical secret in their traditions that fills in the missing gaps of the science. Now, I've worked with a lot of scientists and engineers, and when I would come in on Monday morning and share what I was finding in my studies over the weekend, with the exception of a few people, they would say to me, "We understand what you're saying, but what difference could it possibly make in the world of high-tech computers and science today? What difference could ancient spiritual and religious traditions make? What could they say to us that we can't find through science?" You'll see what they're going to say here in just a moment. Ancient traditions are said to preserve a great mystical secret as the story of creation. Almost universally, ancient texts, traditions, oral traditions, written traditions, they say to us a long time ago, and this isn't my language, this is right out of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that the wisdom of the heavens was given to the family of man, that there was a transmission, a one-way transmission. A long, long time ago in human history, we were given the story of who we are, where we come from, how we relate to this world, to one another, to our Creator, in the language of another time. And they preserved that story in the language that doesn't make a lot of sense to us today. With that information, we were given the power to bring peace to our world. We were given the power to bring healing to our bodies, to end the suffering of humankind. And the interesting thing is, as different as the peace of our world seems to be, and the healing of our bodies seems to be, as different as they appear, they are actually related through the power of a force that we're only beginning to understand. The peace in the Middle East, the peace in Africa, the peace in the large cities of our nation, and the healing of our bodies are related through a force. Now, for some of you, you're saying, okay, I already know that. For others, this is a very different way of looking at our world. It's a very different way of thinking about things. So I'm going to thank you right now for your willingness to explore a new possibility.